There's a great deal of interest nowadays because the public is becoming more and more aware that doctors aren't helping them. They're using drugs and chemicals and poisons and radiation, and it doesn't heal anything. The public is more and more hungry to learn and understand what they can do to help themselves. And there are a lot of DVDs, there's a lot of information on Gerson therapy, which gives them that capability. And it's extremely important, and the public is demanding it, is dragging it and tearing it out of our hands. That's exciting that the public is waking up, because they've been brainwashed, oh, the doctors know best, you have to do what the doctors say, and so on. As it is, actually, doctors treat chronic degenerative disease symptoms. They never heal anything. And if you don't heal, the symptoms worsen, and the drugs the doctors pass out have side effects, and people just get more and more ill and are more and more miserable, and they're not getting well. And the public is waking up that they are being bamboozled, and the doctors are drug pushers. Doctors are not the answer. Doctors are also taught in medical school that chronic degenerative disease is incurable, by definition. And the public is beginning to understand. And they're looking for something better, something valuable, something they can do for themselves. And over the years, they have become acquainted, for instance, with Jay Cordish and juicing and the juice machine. And they're beginning to understand that if they are able to nourish the body thoroughly, to nourish the body's defenses with nutrition, not dead, rotten food and chemicals and pesticides and fungicides that are contained in everything, and the foods that are damaged by processing, and they're valueless and they are not able to nourish the body's defenses. The public is becoming aware that they have to learn about something better and valuable. And juicing is one of the ways to do it, but it has to also be the right juice. And the food has to be organic, free of poisons, free of pesticides, and free of alterations of preservatives and so on. So the public wants to be able to take care of themselves, because the doctors obviously aren't helping them. I don't have a doctor. I never go to a doctor. I avoid doctors. That's part of the reason for staying healthy. The body has what Dr. Gerson called a natural healing mechanism. If it didn't, every time you cut yourself, you would have an infection and die. Every time a woman in the kitchen burns herself, she would get an infection because the skin is broken and die. If you ever have, like, a kid that's active and falls and breaks a bone, and that kid would never have perfect normal function again. Okay? In other words, the body is normally organized in order to heal. Yes, the body has a built-in natural healing mechanism. And Dr. Gerson was definitely of the opinion that only thing you have to do is restore and rebuild the body's healing mechanism, which is being suppressed and damaged by the chemicals and the pesticides and the fungicides and the poison in the water, the fluoride that they put in the water and things like that. These things poison and damage the body's defenses. Actually, when the defenses are in order, your immune system, your enzyme system, your hormone system, your essential organs like the liver and the lungs and the brain and the heart, if those organs are in order, cancer is impossible. You cannot have cancer. the body has too many powerful defenses, so that cancer is, first of all, completely avoidable, and secondly, even in advanced situations, totally curable by restoring the body's ability to reactivate this healing mechanism. We see the capability of the body of restoring its healing mechanism by using the right foods. Like if you have a beautiful car, a Maserati, really fancy car, you wouldn't put sugar water in the tank. Essentially, that's how we treat our bodies. We have this wonderful mechanism, very complex and very complete, and really working with all the organ systems together to keep us well. But we treat it like it's a piece of garbage. We put nothing but garbage in it. And that's not going to maintain the body's capability of healing. So we see, yes, we get virtually exclusively terminally ill patients at the Gerson Hospital in Mexico, simply because these people, when they first have a problem, they have a lump or a bump, or they're bleeding, or they have a pain, or they see something that worries them, they go to their regular doctor. And the doctor starts with cutting things out and biopsying and then recommending chemotherapy, which has never healed anything. Chemotherapy does not restore the body's ability to heal. It poisons it further. It weakens the immune system. Okay, but they make huge money on it. And the pharmaceutical companies pay doctors to prescribe chemotherapy. That was even written up in the Journal of the American Medical Association. So, the public is waking up to this capability of the body to heal itself by giving it the right nutrients. And that's what Dr. Gerson has developed to a fine art, science. It works. And we see even terminally ill patients, not just with cancer or heart disease or diabetes or obesity or arthritis or rheumatoid arthritis or ulcerative colitis. You could mention 1,500 chronic diseases. The body is capable of healing. All you have to do is restore and nourish those healing mechanisms. Fresh organic nutrients is the only thing the human body needs to work on. The human body is designed not to work on white pasta, which is white flour, it's as good as white sugar. It has no vitamins, minerals, enzymes, no nutrition. And not only that, why, you know, even for people who eat vegetables, or eat vegetarian, if it's damaged with toxins, with pesticides and fungicides, and if it's processed and you pour salad dressing on it, loaded with chemicals and with salt and with flavor enhancers and with all kinds of chemicals to make it attractive and tasty. Those things don't nourish the body. They poison these very systems that we must nourish with good living nutrients, good living poison-free nutrients. And that's organic vegetarian. That's exactly what I eat. I eat fresh foods, organic foods exclusively. I eat vegetarian exclusively. I drink fresh living juices with lots of living minerals, enzymes, vitamins, the kind the body's cells and tissues are able to absorb and utilize. You know, I have seen people eating white pasta and canned tomato sauce. Well, that's vegetarian. And then they wash it down with Coca-Cola. That's vegetarian. And then they take a vitamin pill so that they get their nutrition. That's not possible. The body can't absorb that kind of stuff. It's chemical. It's pharmaceutical. And in order to absorb things, the body needs living, active nutrients. And, you know, if you sometimes talk to a plumber who's cleaning a septic tank, he'll tell you how many hundreds of pills he finds in there. Pills that people swallow, where sometimes you can still read the logo of the company who made it. You can swallow pills you think you're getting nutrients. You're not. It goes right through you. It can't be used by the body. But the fresh, living, organic, healthy foods and the raw juices that are rich in the very nutrients that the good Lord put on the earth for us, those the body can use and keep its defenses going. My son, Howard Strauss, has written a very important biography which gives all the details. It was interesting that my father went through medical school just like all other medical students, but there was one difference. He had very severe migraine headaches inherited from his mother. And the migraine headaches, by the time he was through with residency, internship and residence, he had migraines so frequently, 2 and 3 days a week, where he was lying in a darkened room and his eyes and his half head was hurting and he couldn't stand light and things like that. And he had migraines. And he asked his teachers and professors and doctors and said, what am I going to do? And they said, well, just read up. It's incurable. By the time you're 55, you'll feel better. But I'm 25. I can't live this way. I don't want to live. So the doctors would tell him, well, learn how to deal with it. He said, no, I can't do that. And he set out to see what he could do to find help for himself. And he searched for a long time. And he went to other doctors and teachers and professors and universities, and he subscribed to all kinds of medical journals and even foreign ones. He had them translated and things like that. And it took a long time. But one day, he ran across an article in a little obscure foreign journal where a woman was describing, or the doctor was describing, a patient, this woman, who had migraine headaches and changed her diet. Diet? You never heard anything about diet in medical school. This was before World War I. Diet? Never heard anything about diet. But he thought, well, I've searched and searched. I might as well try it. He finally figured out that our physical ancestors, we've got to be careful here because we don't want to step on religious toes, they use vegetarian foods. So he decided to try that. And since he lived in Germany, apples were always available. So he started with nothing but apples. And when he ate fresh apples, raw apples, grated apples, applesauce and things like that, and drank apple juice, he was free of migraines. And then he slowly started to add things after another, one after another. And he found that if he added something that his body couldn't handle, he could have a migraine in 20 minutes. But as long as he stayed with the vegetarian foods, he was fine. He started also to eat cooked foods, and he had a problem because with cooked foods, people would add salt. And he found out that he couldn't handle salt, that it caused him a new outbreak of migraines. And so on, little by little, he developed what he called his migraine diet. He was still thinking the medical way as he had been taught. For each disease, there's a cure or a treatment, okay? So he thought that when he was using one thing that would cure his migraines, that would be helpful and curative for other people's migraines. Never thought of any other disease. So when he settled down to his own practice in a city where I was eventually born, by the name of Bielefeld in Westphalia, northwest Germany, he treated people who came to him with migraine headaches and said, look, migraines are supposedly incurable. I had migraines. I'm doing this. Why don't you try it? He never promised them a cure or anything. But he said, it helped me. Why don't you try it? And invariably, these patients would come back and say, yes, doctor, as long as I do what you tell me, I'm free of migraines. If I cheat, I have a migraine. Okay, so he was convinced that this was a good migraine therapy. Until one day a patient comes back to him, had been complaining of migraines, and said, yes, Dr. Gerson, but I had a different problem also. And that was skin tuberculosis. And it's called lupus vulgaris. It's not the regular what we now call lupus. Lupus vulgaris, skin tuberculosis. And he said that too is healing. So my father said, no, that's impossible. It's an incurable disease. It must have been something else. No, the guy pulled out a laboratory test that those lesions, wherever they were, had tubercular bacilli in them. My father said, let me see that. He had no idea. He couldn't figure out the connection between migraine headaches and skin tuberculosis. But he saw that, yes, there was curative. It was healing. So he said, look, my shingle reads internal and nerve diseases. I don't see skin problems. Do you know others who have the problem? It's relatively rare. Sure, he said, where was in the hospital? Well, my father said, look, send me some of those patients. I'll treat them free of charge. I just want to know. He was a true experimenter and healer. When he saw something valuable, he wanted to use it also for others. So he started to treat skin tuberculosis, and sure enough, it healed. This came to the ears of the tuberculosis specialist Sauerbruch in southern Germany in Munich. And he was treating lung tuberculosis. It was quite famous worldwide. And he was a big professor. And he wanted to see Gerson. Gerson was just a little town doctor, you know. So he actually asked Gerson to come. Those days you didn't fly. This was in the early 20s. It was an 8-hour train ride. Okay, so my father went there and they discussed it. And Sauerbruch said, okay, I'll run a test. I'll take some of the most seriously ill lupus patients, lupus vulgaris, skin tuberculosis, and if only one of them can be arrested, he wasn't even talking any further, only one of them can be arrested, I'll believe everything you say. So he took 450 advanced skin tuberculosis patients and fed them the Gerson food, the Gerson therapy. 446 recovered. Didn't just get improvement or stop, recovered. So he published this. He was the big professor. My father's name was sort of on the bottom. Anyway, my father didn't care. He didn't want glory, but he figured if skin tuberculosis can be healed with this migraine diet, why not other forms of TB? And a lot of young people had the so-called galloping tuberculosis and were dying. People, kids between the ages of 18 and 22, there was a lot of death. And so my father started to treat some of those. And sure enough, they too recovered. And he was called to Berlin, to the big, you know, hospital and so on. He only accepted patients that were certified uninfluenceable. Because he was always told, oh, well, they're early cases, they would have healed anyway. Not true, but the doctors always thought of excuses, okay? So he only took cases that were certified incurable. And sure enough, they got well. But that is the time when he found out that these patients often had other problems. Some had arthritis, some had asthma, some had allergies, some had high blood pressure, some had kidney problems, and so on. And all these problems disappeared along with the lung tuberculosis. And that's when he realized that he was no longer treating a disease. He was helping all the body's systems to reactivate their healing mechanisms so that everything was healing. That's when he really parted company with Orthodox medicine. And of course started to heal chronic diseases. You name it, it's curable. Orthodox medicine claims that chronic degenerative disease is incurable by definition. We have been curing it in Mexico with the Gerson therapy for 35, 40 years now. And he cured it for 35, 40 years in New York in his practice. Well, you know, it's interesting, the more famous people, they want to have the fanciest clinics and the fanciest doctors and the best and so on. And generally, they don't come for the Gerson therapy, a little Mexican clinic that's hiding, you know, stuff like that. So we rarely see really famous people. We did have some, Dr. Gerson had some, the famous, way back, I remember when I was a teenager, the famous Russian bass, I think, Fyodor Shalyapin, and there was a famous violinist, and there was a famous actress, but generally very few people, because the rich and the famous didn't go to, you know, these little side situations. They wanted the best, the most famous, and the most expensive doctors. Jay Cordes, the famous juice man with the bushy eyebrows, did a very good job by promoting his juice machine. It's vastly superior to anything kids might be drinking, like sodas or the sugared juice drinks and things like that. It's vastly superior, and it does contain nutrients, vitamins, minerals, and it's very valuable because it was spread all over the United States and the public became very much aware of the importance of juicing. Jay himself was apparently a patient of my father's when my father was practicing in New York. He, Jay, had, at the time, he had bladder cancer. He was in his middle 20s. He was young married, he had a young wife, and I think already one or two children. And he was distraught, and he had no money. And, you know, my father really wasn't interested in money. If people had no money, he didn't care. He had a patient who was nervous, and he said, my father noticed he was nervous. He said, what's the matter? He says, I don't have enough money to get back home. He needed to get back home with his wife to Ohio, where he left from New York. So my father gave him money. He didn't care. He would give patients money and not collect. He didn't care at all. He didn't care for money. He wanted the knowledge, the experience, the healing. He wanted to see people get well. He was a true healer and a scientist. He worked on the background. He wanted to know what's causing it and so on. And he found out. Well, his book, that was his last book, actually. He had written other books, but this was his last and ultimate book. It was called A Cancer Therapy, Results of 50 Cases. And yes, he took 50 cases, of which 48 had been terminal. Two were relatively early. And he showed with biopsies from, he never did his own biopsy, from hospitals, from universities, from other doctors, even sometimes other countries, where it was proved to be cancer, and in most of the cases, in advanced condition. And he showed the therapy that he used to heal them and treat them, and he describes 50 cases. Now, the interesting thing is this. As I was saying earlier, the Gerson therapy is not specifically a cancer treatment, and he was very much aware of that. And the reason why he called this book A Cancer Therapy is because in his mind, cancer was the ultimate damage to the human body, the ultimate deterioration of the body's defenses, the immune system, the enzyme system, the hormone system, the essential organs, and everything that comprises the body's defenses. This cancer was the ultimate defeat of those systems. And as a result, he felt if cancer is curable, the other diseases are much simpler, much easier. He even went so far as to state that in chronic degenerative diseases, the liver, the key organ in healing, the liver is responsible for every biochemical activity in the body, everything. In chronic degenerative diseases, the liver is weakened and damaged. In cancer, the liver is not only weakened and damaged, it's poisoned. And that made the difference that eventually he was able to cure advanced cancer. He started out by curing other chronic diseases. But eventually he found, reading a lot and with other information, interesting, important information that he found that others had found out, but didn't put together. He was able to put it together and find the reason why cancer became incurable, supposedly. It has had to change some. The program, as he outlined it, was requiring certain things that we can no longer do and no longer get. For one, the FDA has blocked it, and they claim that they do the public a favor because they can only allow chemicals on the market that are effective and harmless, like chemotherapy, right? Okay, and stuff like that, but it's not true. But they have made it very difficult for us to get crude liver extract and to get B12 and to get some of the things Dr. Gerson used. So we've had to add things like CoQ10, which works fairly well. It's not as good as the real good crude liver extract, but we are lucky we're still healing cancer, advanced cancer, including pancreatic cancer, where orthodox medicine is completely incapable of doing anything but damage people further. Okay, prevention would be a very good idea, almost impossible to put across. We've tried. The public in general is brainwashed. The doctors know best, right? Furthermore, they say, well, I've been eating this way for 20 years and I'm fine. They don't know that maybe in 23 years they develop something. But I have heard researchers show that the liver, being the key organ, has quite enormous defenses. And when those defenses are in place and the liver is functioning, you are well. But if you don't nourish it with fresh, living, organic, clean vegetables and fruit and absorbable, utilizable vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, the liver's defenses go down slowly. And these same researchers have found, I've heard long lectures about it, that as long as the liver has approximately one-third of its defenses in place, you're fine. You don't know anything about any possible damage. You can smoke and drink and eat whatever you please, and the defenses are still working. But when you go through that line, and they claim it's one-third, so let's say 33 and a third, let's say 35%, or even 32%. I'm not going to quibble about 1% or 2%. When you fall through that line, you can go from apparently normal health to terrible disease in a matter of days. I've seen that happen. Because there's no way you can test yourself. There's no way that there's any way of finding to what extent your liver is still working and your liver still has defenses and is still capable of releasing stuff to keep you well. You don't know if your liver works 91% or 73% or maybe 46% or maybe 37%. And you're not nourishing it with pasta and meat and salt and all kinds of chemicalized stuff. And then one day it drops through that line. And suddenly you have lumps or bumps or you have arthritis or you have rheumatoid lupus or any of those other so-called diseases and so on. It can happen from one day to the next. But it usually happens. And we see a lot of patients around the age of 55-ish, male and female. Okay? There comes a time. And you try at 35 or 40 to tell them they have to change their diet. Why? I'm enjoying this. It's wonderful and I'm healthy. I'm fine. Why should I change? Why should I stop smoking? I enjoy smoking. Try to sell prevention. You waste your time, you waste your breath, you waste your money. Don't bother. Unfortunately, I never had the pleasure of meeting Dr. Walker. However, I'll tell you a story about one of his books. We were working in Mexico already, and we had a patient there, a very nice lady. And she asked me one day, knowing that we use Norwalk and suggest it for patients, she said, do you have one of Norman Walker's books signed specifically to you? I said, no, unfortunately, I don't. I'll get it for you, she said. And she called and talked to his wife. And the wife said, you know, Dr. Walker is very busy. And he was 111 at the time. And I can't make an appointment for the next 18 months. So when you make an appointment and you're 111 years old and it's a year and a half later, I got the book. He kept it. Now, the important thing here is that Dr. Walker, at the age of 39, was seriously ill, was sent home from the hospital. They didn't find out, they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. They couldn't treat him, they couldn't do anything with him. So they just told him, go home and get your affairs in order. In other words, go ahead and die. So that's when he changed his diet, and he decided he needed to eat raw foods, but he couldn't eat enough. And he realized if he could get rid of a good deal of the fiber, then he could eat more. So that's why he started to use juicing. And he did that, and then he constructed a juicer for himself and his own. And he restored his health, and he lived for many years. I'm told he died at 117. It doesn't have to be all raw food, but if you eat good, nutritious, clean, healthy food, clean being free of chemicals, free of additives, free of pesticides, free of all of the poisons that they regularly add to it, and free of being GMO and all that kind of stuff. Just good, organic, nutritious foods. I believe, yes, that one can live quite healthy until somewhere 110, between 110 and 120. The people in the Himalayas, what are they called up there? Howard will fill you in on that. They usually are still working and active into their high teens, 110 teens. And one day they sit down, they eat dinner, they're tired, and they say goodnight and goodbye to everybody. They lie down to sleep and they don't wake up. They know exactly when they're going to die, but not of disease. If you are able to maintain your health with good, nutritious food and your defenses, you're perfectly able to live until whatever time you wish and work and be well. I'm fine. I don't have any chronic diseases. I don't have a doctor. I'm not taking any drugs of any kind. I don't have osteoporosis. I drink juices. I take no drugs for osteoporosis. Those are the most dangerous ones, along with the drugs that alter mental activity. They're terribly dangerous, and they're very damaging and toxic, very bad. Dr. Gerson had essentially four different kinds of juice. We have one fresh pressed organic orange juice for breakfast, just one. And people think that's the only juice that's vitamin C. That's not true. The other juices we serve have more vitamin C than the orange juice. It's just an accommodation. We use a juice made of greens, of lettuce greens and a little chard and a little green pepper and a little red cabbage, and all put together with an apple. The apple has pectin in it and makes it highly digestible. That's a second juice. The third juice, and a lot of that is being served, is apple and carrot mixed. Apparently, Dr. Gerson, together with one of the most famous biochemists that he was working with, who had fled Czechoslovakia with Hitler and all that going on, together they found that the acid of the apples, when you grind them together in the Norwalk with the carrots, the acid of the apples apparently influences the ground-up carrots to release minerals. So with the apples combination, you get the best release of minerals, which is upward of 50%. You never get 100% minerals extraction. That's the third kind of juice. And the fourth kind of juice is carrot only, which we serve with liver capsules. And that produces, and Dr. Virginia Livingston pointed that out, it produces a precursor vitamin A. And that's very important to heal cancer. So there's actually four kinds of juices: orange juice, green juice, apple carrot juice, and carrot only. All of them. Some of everything. When I'm home, I get somewhere around five juices a day. When I'm at the hospital, they serve me every hour, same as the hospital, as the patients. Juicing is an extremely important situation, especially when we are dealing with seriously ill patients. They don't have good appetite. It's a well-known fact that people who have chronic disease have low stomach acid. And when they have low stomach acid, they can't digest food very well, and they haven't got much appetite. But in order to help them and heal them, we have to get nutrients into their body, and pills aren't going to do the job. So we have to get nutrition into them. And since fibers fill you up very quickly, the juicing is important. It removes the fibers. And you can drink an 8-ounce glass of juice every hour, which is what we give them. So between all the juices and the meals, and they get appetite back. And between getting even between meal fruit and all of that, the patients get roughly 20 pounds worth of fresh living food every day, which you couldn't possibly get into them if they eat all of the fiber. But with the juicing, it is possible. And they still eat full meals with normal fiber content. And they have appetite. They're able to eat the vegetarian food. It's not heavy, it's not greasy, it's not fried, it's not salted, it's not animal proteins that fills you up and makes you uncomfortable. It works. It's not juice. It's just ground up carrots with all the fiber, and ask them if they can drink 20 pounds of it. Blender, don't make juice. They grind up foods to make them, you can more easily swallow them, you don't have to chew them. But you're getting all the fiber, and therefore you have a very limited capacity. That's foolishness. That's why Dr. Gerson said, no, we need to use juices so that you have a much increased capacity and can get much more nutrition into this very sick, damaged, weakened body. Fiber is good. If you're used to eating meat and therefore are constipated, it's better to have fiber. But if you are seriously deficient in nutrients and you need to restore the body's capability and availability of nutrition, you want to use juice, not fiber. I often get the question of, so where are the proteins on the Gerson therapy? I'm frankly a little bit tired of the question.
Trying to teach people.
And I often answer with a counter question. The biggest, strongest land animals are what? Elephants? Do they eat meat? They're vegetarians. What about bulls? They're vegetarians. What about the 800-pound gorillas? They're vegetarians. And very often, the vegetarian animals are bigger, healthier, and stronger than the meat eaters. If the cat animals that eat meat and they chase, you know, their prey like deer or whatever, they chase them. They have to sneak up as close as they possibly can until they start the pursuit. Okay, the vegetarians, the deer type animals, they run and run. And if the cat animals are not catching them within 45 seconds, they rest, they're tired. The vegetarians keep right on running. Okay, the vegetarian diet is absolutely rich in proteins. The best and most complete protein apparently is in carrots and carrot juice. And it just happens, and I've seen this working, that there are occasionally baby is born to mothers who are not virile and are not able to nurse them, and they are tried on cow's milk, on formula, and on goat's milk, and on soy milk. I've always wondered, soy doesn't give birth to living young. Where does it come from? Where's the milk coming from? And stuff like that. And these children are still not thriving. They got colics and so on. And they have been raised on nothing but fresh, living, press-type carrot juice. Perfectly normal. Carrot juice has almost the same amount of protein as mother's milk. But it has all the other things babies need. Calcium and magnesium and manganese and everything else the babies need for perfectly normal development. After the age of 3 or 4 weeks, they can absolutely exist on and healthily grow on and thrive on nothing but carrot juice. Okay, so there is the answer for protein. You get protein in all vegetables, you get it in potatoes, you get it in the oatmeal, you get it in vegetables, all the other vegetables that are part of the Gerson therapy, and like salads that have enzymes that help lodge those proteins where they belong in the tissues. Okay, you get everything, you know, it's nature has set it all up, it's all right. It's when they start fiddling around and changing things and processing things and adding pesticides and fungicides and food chemicals and flavor things and preservatives and goodness knows what, that's when you get into trouble. And eating proteins, and when a doctor tells a patient, you need to get more proteins. The only thing the public thinks of when it thinks of protein is animal proteins. But the human body is not designed for animal proteins. It cannot handle it correctly. It cannot utilize it. It cannot break it down to the end product and lodge it correctly. So animal proteins is not the right thing. We are designed for vegetarian food. And that's what I get. Obesity is artificially created quite easily. Two researchers found one day that when you give it early enough, young enough animals, the MSG, monosodium glutamate, kills a certain part of the brain. I don't know where it's located, but it kills a certain part of the brain. That part of the brain tells you, you're full, you don't need any more food, you don't want to eat anymore. And that gets killed with MSG. So they give it to very young people, they give it to children, they put it in all the foods, and people no longer know when to stop eating. And they eat and eat, and since they're not getting nutrition, the body is actually hungry for nutrients. And they eat and eat, but they don't eat anything nutritious and get bigger and heavier and fatter. And that's when they develop high blood pressure and diabetes and some of the other problems. When you don't do that, when you eat good, normal, healthy foods and no MSG, and MSG is now being put into virtually everything you buy on the shelves in the grocery store. And it's in everything in restaurants. Because the restaurant people also know that it's addictive. And people come back for it. And people order more food. And they make more money. Well, that's wonderful. But it's not wonderful for your health. And it causes this enormous obesity and therefore high blood pressure and diabetes and so on. And then they say that diabetes is incurable. That's garbage. Just stop eating this junk. It's not true. We have seen type 2 diabetes. Now, type 1 diabetes is a completely different disease. But type 2 diabetes, we have seen completely disappear in a matter of 5 to 8 days. Completely disappear. Because the body is producing insulin. But it's not getting into the cell, the insulin receptors, because those are blocked by, guess what? Cholesterol. By fat in meat, by fat in deep fried, by fat in butter, by fat in yolk of eggs, on and on and on. Cholesterol. Stop the cholesterol and you stop the diabetes. It's so simple. It's so ridiculous. Well, my next birthday, I'll be 90. Okay, and as I said, I attribute my longevity to, first of all, nourishing my defenses, and secondly, never seeing a doctor, never taking any drugs or chemicals or anything like that, giving my body all the best possible poison-free nutrients, living substances.